much for joining us at Vive Church for our podcast. If you're local to the Bay Area, we'd love to see you at one of our four locations. For more information, check us out on vivechurch.org.
How many people have been enjoying the series that we're on? God willing, The Decision Dilemma. Pastor Adam has been really blessing us with how do we make decisions in this life in accordance to God's will, right? Because we started the series with a message he entitled Flimsy Faith. You remember that? Remember that? Where we talked about all you need is mustard seed level faith. You don't need an elaborate word from God. What if you can obey him with just one word? And then we talked about in Palm Sunday, the decision dilemma. Well, we learned how Jesus sent his disciples to steal a cult jacking. That's what happened. We looked at it from the perspective of the cult owner. What did that cult owner have to do? He had to predetermine that whatever I have is Jesus's. Whatever I have, I'm gonna give to God. That'll help you with your decisions. And then Vive Easter Experience. How many were here for Vive Easter Experience? Some of you maybe for the first time came at Vive Easter, and we learned how in mistakes, sometimes, just like Peter and the decision that he made in the courtyard to deny Jesus, he made a mistake, but how that mistake made him. That he didn't allow guilt to corner him, he allowed grace to carry him. And then last week we learned career to calling. I love that. That there's a conditioning for your calling. That sometimes you go through stuff in life as conditioning to increase your capacity for your calling. The more conditioning, the greater the calling. Anybody catch that last week? That was good. And I'm gonna continue. Actually, this is the last installment of God Willing, The Decision Dilemma. I'm gonna continue and I'm gonna close it out. And I wanna read this scripture as you stay standing to set up today. Acts 16, verse 6 through 8, New Living Translation. It's gonna be on the screen. You can follow with me in your own Bibles. But it says this: Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit, watch this, had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went through Mysia to the seaport of Tros. What an interesting passage that we find ourselves in Acts 16. This follows Paul's missionary journey where he's going from town to town, having success in converting people to Christianity, the way they called it at that time, followers of Jesus, planting churches, starting churches. But then all of a sudden in Acts 16, he wants to preach the gospel. He wants to do what Jesus told him to do in Asia. He wants to reach them Filipinos. He wants to reach them Chinese. He wants to reach my wife's family. He wants to go to Asia. But the Holy Spirit said, no. Why, Holy Spirit? And then he says, okay, well, let me go to Bithynia. And then the Holy Spirit prevented him. And this got me to thinking, as we're closing out this series on God's will, how do we discern God's will in the midst of closed doors? What happens when Jesus says go, but the Holy Spirit said no? What happens when God's called you to go to college, but that college you applied for denied you? What happens when God called you to be a parent, but you can't get pregnant? What happens when you want a spouse, but you can't get a swipe? I'm not supporting, but I just know San Francisco. Hey, we should start an app, actually. We're a Silicon Vive Hive. That's a dating app called Vive Hive. Find your honey. That would be... Bring it back. This is not what it's about. This is not what it's about. This is not what it's about. We need to pray. Lord God, I pray for our church right now. I thank you, God, that we can have fun in church. I thank you, God, that you're going to show us in your word that even in closed doors, even in situations where we find a no, that maybe you're trying to teach us something. So would you teach us something today? Would you change us? Would you transform us by your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen and amen. Hey, on your way down, why don't you high five five people. Tell them, I'm so glad you're here in church. I'm so glad you made it to church this morning. Hey, don't steal my idea. I know we got some app developers in the place just already starting to code. Hey, media team, can you put up those pictures really quick? I gave a couple pictures. It's been an eventful week this week for us. Our second daughter was born this past Tuesday. Emerson, Lois, Roush, she is our second daughter. Mama's doing okay. She's actually here in service. Give it up for Kim. She just blessed me with another baby. And Lennox is an amazing big sister. Emerson is looking peaceful, but not sounding so peaceful. No, she's fantastic. She's a miracle child. If you got to hear me speak and share last time, you might have heard a little bit of our story. And Emerson is a total miracle. And so God is good. Amen. He is faithful. And it's evident in our life. And I know it's evident in your life. And we have an opportunity today to come around this miracle, but all the miracles that are happening all across the Bay Area, all the people that are finding relationship, that are finding community. And so I'm excited to share this morning. But I got a quick question, actually more of a statement that maybe you guys can kind of come into agreement with me on. You would agree, right, that nobody really likes to hear no. You agree? Okay, we have some real people in the place this morning. Man, I do not like here, I don't like closed doors. And this actually reminds me of a time that we were actually in Rome several months back. This is before we knew that we were going to do a Vive Rome campus. And we were there, me and Pastor Adam and the film team, we were there filming a project, Vive at Home in Rome. Did anybody see that? That was cool, right? For Christmas, this past Christmas. And so we were there trying to film in all the historical sites and things like that. And we did our due diligence. We got all the permissions and the permits that we needed beforehand, but we didn't realize the bureaucracy of Italy before we got there. And so when we were there trying to get into places like the Roman Forum, then we were met with and this is how Italians do it when they want to make it emphatic. When we were trying to get in the Roman Forum, we got a resounding no. Really frustrating. I'm a dad of two daughters now, okay? And my Lennox, she's almost 2.5, and I'm starting to realize it's actually human nature that we don't like hearing no. She's supposed to eat her lunch, but she says she wants to play with toys, and I say, like the Italians, no. All right, I'll make it personal. I'll put myself kind of on this platform of vulnerability right now, kind of a therapy session for me. I don't like hearing no, especially when I ask Kim out for the very first time. Wow. It's like, why would you deny any of this? Like, that is... Let me give you a little context, though, because she was in my marketing class, okay? University of Washington, we're in the business school. I see her from across the room, and I'm like, hey, yo, girl, I'm trying to get an A. You want to be my study buddy? And she's like, yeah, cool, that's awesome. And so we built a friendship for a couple of weeks. And I thought things were going well. I thought we were flirting. And that's the key thing for the single guys. I thought we were flirting. And so I video call her. We went to a commuter school. And so she was visiting her family on the weekend. I was visiting my family on the weekend in a suburb of Seattle. And so I video call her that weekend. I'm like, hey, it's a Friday night, Kim. Do you want to go to the movies with me? And it was really inconvenient because she was in a season of her life of doing this thing called pursuing God. Very, very inconvenient for me. And her midweek leader, her small group leader at the time, was talking about authority. And if you're in your parents' household, you need to submit to parental authority. So when I asked her if she wanted to go to the movies, she yells from across the house, Mom, can I go to the movies with this guy? And she's like, no. I'm like, you didn't sell it that well. Like, and I share this story because 7 years later, I must have not interpreted it as a no because we're married now and making babies. It wasn't a no, it was a not yet for me. See, Paul, when he was trying to go to Asia, when he was trying to go to Bithynia, it wasn't a no, because we would read later that even though he was prevented by the Holy Spirit at that moment, later it would reach these places with the gospel. So the Holy Spirit wasn't saying no, he was just saying not yet. Wow. I want you to write this down. Number one, closed doors are not necessarily no doors. They are actually an indication that there are more doors. Oh, you got me rhyming now. Man, something's good is gonna happen today. That maybe those doors that are closed are not a no. Maybe that means God is directing you to seek other doors. Maybe that means God has more in store for you. See, the Holy Spirit did not want to stop Paul's mission. Jesus is the one that gave Paul the mission to go reach all the nations, all the cities, all the places that he was going to. Jesus had that mission and mandate for his life. So the Holy Spirit wasn't going to stop Paul's mission. He just wanted to show Paul how to fulfill the mission. See, some of you are seeing this closed door right now as a discouragement. I'm here to encourage you that that closed door was never meant to immobilize you. It was meant to motivate you to know that the Holy Spirit is with you. We got golf claps in Palo Alto. I'll get you on board. So how did Paul, in this situation, discern that of God's will? How did Paul in this situation know that I'm going to keep going? I'm going to go to the seaport. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep going. Well, I believe that Paul, just like we've been learning all series, had a predetermined position about his mission. He had a predetermined position about his calling. He was called by God to evangelize. God showed up to him in a bright light and told him he was going to take the gospel to the Gentiles, that he was going to take the gospel to the rest of the world. So he had a predetermined position. And so when he met a closed door, it actually was a sign not for him to stop, but to keep going. He didn't stop in his tracks. What he did was he kept going. He kept doing what he knew what to do. He said, I'm going to go to the seaport. I'm going to go to Troas. Maybe God is there. He won't let me go to Asia. He won't let me go to Bithynia. And I'm here to tell you, if you face some closed doors, just do what you know what to do. If that college denied you, but God said you're going to college, keep applying to colleges. If God said that you're going to be a parent, then keep believing. If God said you're going to be in a relationship and you're going to get a spouse, then keep stepping out in faith. If God said that you're going to start a business, but you can't get funding, keep stepping out in faith. Keep going. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to stop you. He wants to steer you, but he can't steer something that's not moving. Paul keeps going. And then we find out, actually, in verse 9, we find out 16:9 of Acts. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. See, Paul's plan was cool, but God's power is better. If you keep going towards God, all of a sudden he'll meet you with his power. The power of God met Paul in the form of a vision. And watch this. I've been joking about Asia, but Asia actually, in reference in this scripture, is talking about Asia Minor, which is modern day Turkey. So Paul's plan was, okay, I've done this, this, and this. I'm going to go to modern day Turkey next. And God was like, yeah, we can reach modern day Turkey, but I actually am going to show you in a vision that you're going to go to Greece first. And what we read in scripture in the next couple chapters is that redirection actually allows Paul to preach in Philippi, to preach in Athens, and to preach in Corinth, some of the most influential cities in the known world at that time. He wanted to reach Turkey. God wanted to reach all of Europe. What if that closed door that you're experiencing is indication that God has a bigger and better door for you to walk through? Amen. See, I think this sometimes. I think we have our plans, and I'm type A. I'm a planner. Plans are good. The Bible says that you can make your plans, but the Lord will direct your steps. Like, plans are good, but maybe you face closed doors sometimes because he needs to give you more direction. Maybe you faced closed doors sometimes because he needs to show you his ways a bit more. Maybe before you become a parent, he needs to show you how to do it the godly way. Maybe before you get in that relationship, maybe he needs to show you how to date the godly way. Maybe you start that business. Maybe he's teaching you in a season of integrity how to actually run a business that's going to bless the kingdom. Maybe he's trying to show you something. That closed doors doesn't have to be an excuse for anxiety in our life, but an opportunity for expectancy. That, okay, all right, God, I see that closed door. That must mean you have something bigger and better for my life. I think sometimes we make these plans, and plans are good. And I think God sometimes, he's the creator of the universe. He's like, those are such cute plans. Like, that's, way to go, Vance. That's fantastic. That's an awesome plan, but let me add my power. Wow. That 5x5 vision vibe, that's awesome. That's really good. 5 campuses in 5 years. You got it right. But it's not just going to be in the Bay Area. I see something global for you guys. I see something beyond the Bay Area that you're going to take what's happening here. You're going to connect it to what was influential in the ancient day. The modern day Silicon Valley was then Rome. And then you're going to connect it to and reach so many people through this unique narrative that God placed on your house. Amen. Maybe it means that he is something better and bigger for you. See, what's so cool is that the closed doors for Paul was actually the very sign that he was walking with the Holy Spirit. Because who closed the doors? The Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit was with him. That's my second point. Write this down. Closed doors are not there for confusion, but they're there for confirmation. Because you might be thinking, okay, that's great, Vance. That's awesome. That's really, really cool. I can expect something bigger and better in my life, but that doesn't help me right now in the decisions I need to make tomorrow. Because the closed doors that I'm facing is actually causing me more confusion. But maybe I can help shift your perspective. Maybe it was there for confirmation. Because it's confusing to see a closed door if you see it as a stop sign, but it's confirmation when you see it as a signpost. When you see it as a signpost, then that means it's the very direction that you needed from God. That means actually that closed doors are actually just as important as open doors. But here's the tension. The tension is this. The tension is we believe sometimes that God's will is secret. That God's will is like this hidden treasure that we need a secret map that we need to decode and decipher. We need to unlock through religious ritual. And if I can do this and if I can do that, and if I can do all these religious things, then maybe I can twist God's arm enough that he can show me his will. I'm here to tell you, God's will is not secret. Yeah. Right. How do I know this? God's will is not secret because every time I see in the Bible, he makes himself pretty obvious. How did he show up to Moses? Burning bush. I don't know how much obvious you have to get other than a burning bush. How did he show up to Paul, the character that we're reading right now? On the road to Damascus, he shows up to Paul with a bright light. And you might be asking, Vance, that's cool. That's awesome. But he hasn't shown up to me in a burning bush. He hasn't shown up to me in a bright light, even though the lights are pretty bright here in Vive Church. I'm here to tell you, you don't need a burning bush. You don't need a bright light because we have the Bible. We have the very word of God, 66 books across thousands of years, across multiple different authors that are consistent, that tell the narrative of Jesus, tell the narrative of grace, tell the narrative of this life story, this love story. That we don't need the burning bush, the bright light. We just need to realize that it's in his word. See, I've been building lately this playhouse for Lennox, our daughter that's 2 right now. And we got a bunch of wood from Costco. And, you know, the inner male in me wants to wing it. I want to be like, no, I'm just going to I'm going to be intuitive and I'm going to be impressive. And that's the inner kind of male. But that intimidates me because I'm not handy. And so what I have to rely on is the instructions. And I try to make it a little sexier because it has an app now for the instructions where they 3D renderings and shows you every step and it's pretty cool. But I need to rely on the instructions and I feel confident in the instructions because I know that I'm not going to build something that is going to fall on Linux. I know I'm going to build something that's not going to be unstable. I'm going to build something that's sustainable, that's strong. And I feel like sometimes we get stuck in difficult decisions, but I'm here to tell you that he left instructions. He left the very word of God. He left his directions right here. He's saying, just use the instructions. It might not be sexy. It might not be intuitive. It might not be impressive, but it's going to be strong. It's going to be sustainable. It's going to be something that you can build your life on. I think this, what if we knew his directions so well that we not only built something for our own life, but we actually were able to teach other people how to build something in their life. Vive Church is not a place where you're just going to get fed. It's a place you're going to get equipped to be able to feed other people, help other people, and teach them how to build something strong when they need that strength. Help people show that there's a hope when it feels like everything is hopeless. That you come from a Sunday and you go on a Monday and you see an opportunity to pray, an opportunity to prophesy, an opportunity to come alongside and give the very strength that you've built your life on to somebody else. And I guarantee this, that the more that you actually soak in these directions, the more that you know his directions, I'm telling you, it's going to line up with your desires. How do I know this? Because Psalms 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Wow. What does that mean? Does that mean if I go to church and I read the Bible and I pray, then all of a sudden God's going to give me whatever I want? No. It means that as you continue to read his word, all of a sudden what he wants is what you want. What if closed doors was the very opportunity for your want to align with his will? You read the word, you read the scripture, and all of a sudden you start getting this appetite. You start getting this appetite for righteousness. You start getting this appetite for holiness. You start getting this appetite for true freedom. You get starting to get this appetite for sacrificing yourself and laying down your life for others like Jesus laid it down for us. You start reading how Jesus spent his life, not self-consumed, but for us. He spilled his blood. He spilled his life. And all of a sudden you get an appetite. I want to do that. I don't want to live self-consumed anymore. I want to live for other people. I don't want to live insular anymore. I want to live outward for other people. What if all of a sudden these closed doors provided an opportunity for your want to line up with his will? But you might be asking, I'm going to close with this. That's awesome, Vance, that closed doors can be the very indication that there's something more. That's cool that maybe it's a very sign that he's directing me, but that doesn't help me in my situation right now because I just faced a closed door that totally disoriented me. I just faced a closed door that totally disillusioned me from faith. I just faced a closed door that sent me in this spiral, that sent me in this funk that I can't get out of. And I've been trying to make plans to dig myself out, but I'm disoriented with life. What do I do? I don't know if you caught this last week, but Pastor Adam actually said something really powerful, that when you're disoriented in life, go back to the place of your calling. Go back to the place where church was a priority. Go back to the place where you surrendered and you submitted your plans to God. Go back to the place of praising him no matter what. Go back to the place of worship. Go back to the basics. Go back to the simplicity of God's grace is sufficient for me. Go back to the place where you were called. Because this is my third and last point. Closed doors are a reminder that it's less about your plan and more about his presence. Paul went back to the place where he would meet God in a vision. Peter, we learned last week, goes back to the place of his calling. He goes, after he denies Jesus three times, he makes a tragic mistake. Peter actually goes back to the Sea of Galilee where he was initially called by Jesus. He goes back to that place. And I'm thinking about Peter, and Peter was definitely, when we know Peter, we've been learning about him this series. Peter was definitely a guy that was courageous and bold, right? Peter was definitely a guy that pretty much did some bold things for Jesus. Like, he cut off ears. Like, he's the one who identified, this is the Messiah who's going to save everybody. He did some bold and courageous things, but I realized he did those bold and courageous things always in the presence of Jesus. When he denied Jesus three times, that's when he was separated from Jesus. Peter pursued Jesus' presence so much that he saw Jesus walking on water in the midst of a storm, and he's like, I'm gonna walk on water too because I wanna get to Jesus. I want his presence. And what happened? What happened? He stepped on water twice. He walked on water a couple times. You think the disciples were laughing at him because he eventually fell? I think he got back in the boat and they were like, John was like, yo, that was cool. That was. But then I realized this. The miraculous is actually just a byproduct of his presence. So if you're down right now, if you're depressed right now, if you're down and out and you're in a funk, you need a miracle. But your miracle is only a byproduct of inviting his presence in your world, to invite his presence in your life. You got to pursue him. You got to pursue his presence. And I'm telling you, the miracle that you need won't be made manifest in your life. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. It's been manifest in my life. I don't stand here just preaching. I don't stand here just saying religious rhetoric to cheerlead people and to. I say this out of an experience of my life. I'm sitting in the hospital. In the hospital this past Tuesday and Wednesday, and I'm trying to help Kim, like she's doing most of the work, but you know, in between feedings and stuff, I'm holding Emerson and I'm looking at Emerson's eyes, and it all starts coming full circle. Because our story is that the timing in which Emerson has come wasn't our plan, wasn't our timing. We wanted Emerson way sooner. If it was according to me, she would have been like 3 years old now. Like, it wasn't in our plan and in our timing. And what I was looking at her, it comes full circle because I remember and I reflect on the struggle it was. I reflect on the miscarriage. I reflect on the closed doors. I reflect on the financial burden. I reflect on all these things that were happening in the midst of all the closed doors, all the no's, all the. And what I realize is this, that in it all, God was with us. He showed me that it's not about my plan. It's about his presence in it all. That I want to be there in your joy, and I want to be there in your mourning. I want to be there in your success. I want to be there in your struggle. I want to be there in the good times. I want to be there in the painful times. And I'm so grateful that God shifted my plan so that he could be present and give me his purpose. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful.
You are blessed by this podcast. If you have a story about what God's done or what he's doing in your life, we'd love to hear it. Send us an email at mystory@vivechurch.org.